What time is it?
It's time for Ricketts Bursey.
Mike, Steve, no Dave, though. No Dave. And man, I don't know why he just gives us the keys to the kingdom and thinks it's going to be okay. You know, it's like, I don't know. To me, it's like when, you know, in the movies, when the parents are like, oh, kids, don't you throw a party while we're away. And, you know, the house gets trashed and everything breaks. It's kind of like the same thing. But, here we are again. Keys to the house. No,
we don't have to. We don't have to have like some adult to find, you know, to buy beers for us or anything like that, though.
That is true. That is true. We don't have to have the weirdly old looking kid who can somehow get away without an ID. I have come prepared today. I've got double fisting Green State Lagers here.
Very nice. I am also double fisting. It's one of my favorite beers, blackberry wheat.
Man, I haven't had blackberry wheat in years.
It's fucking, it's back and it's good, man.
I'll have to check that out next time I see it.
Yeah. So I'm pouring this into, you know, one of those Pilsner glasses you get at the chain restaurants, you know, when they ask you, do you want a tall one or a short one? Well, I went for the tall one and this thing is, you know, one of these.
Yes, that's the way it's one of those days.
It really is. It really is. I think it's partially due to, you know, what happened to us on the weekend.
I guess we're just going to dive right into that, huh?
Yeah, I actually will start us off by saying my son won two championships this week, despite what the comments that were made on the Vermont Spurs WhatsApp about possibly it being me who won the championships. It was not me. It was the boy one who lives in my house. He won his 5v5 league. And a beautiful goal he had. And he won in the 7v7 league too. So couple of different teams, you know, different players on each team. And it was just like, it was great to watch. It was just really great to watch. And the joy on the kids' faces, especially after last season's, you know, tough season. So I'm going to congratulate the boy as I usually always do. And of course my daughter with her academics is just like going crazy. So I can't be a prouder dad right now.
You know what? If we're going to share proud dad achievements,
why not?
Yeah, might as well, right?
Heck yeah, dude.
Our dad isn't here to keep us in line, so...
Yeah, take that, Dad.
Daddy Dave over there. What'd you tell me? He went out for a pack of smokes.
He'll it's be like back, he went, right? for, went out for a pack of smokes, and yeah, let's hope, you know?
Yeah, so we had our, you know, parent-teacher conference thing, which I still think is kind of weird for, you know, just a daycare, but I guess technically it's preschool, so maybe it makes I don't know. But the exciting thing about that was they have this I don't know if they're like what kind of guidelines they are, but it's like this developmental checklist that they use to see like where do the kids line up relative to, you know, the average child of that age group. And my kiddo, he excelled in every single category. He had high marks in all of them, you know, gross motor, fine motor, communication, social, all of it, just completely outstanding. So it's always nice when, you know, you get other people who are like, yeah, your kid is like top shelf. He's just the greatest joy to have. And the funny thing for me is, you know, he was there with us because what else am I going to do with him, right? He can't stay home alone for that sort of thing. He's just running around the classroom, just playing pranks, you know, joking around, just being that like background comedian trying to get his teachers to laugh, trying to get us to laugh, just an absolute joy. So yeah, it's things are looking pretty good for the Wicked Spursy youth.
You know, that's true. Yeah, the Wicked Spursy youth. We'll call them the youth of Wicked Spursy. How about that?
That works. I like it.
To avoid other connotations.
Fair enough. And this is, you see, this is why we need Daddy Dave to,
I know, to keep us going. He's got to keep us, you know, under the line, just under the line.
Yeah, we're what, 5 minutes into this and we're already getting a little unhinged. And man, I still have quite a lot of drink to go.
I do too. Cheers.
Cheers indeed. So, about that match, huh?
About it.
You know, the only nice thing I think that I have to say about it is that it was an early match. So, like, it, you know, it's all downhill from there, right? Like, you got the pain out of the way, and then, you know, you go on and enjoy the rest of your weekend. You're not left to really stew on it. Like, I went out and immediately, you know, did stuff to put that behind me. But yeah, that's about where my compliments end. It was not a good game.
No, I mean, it wasn't a good game. And, you know, after the first goal went in, I said, okay, you know, cause like the first about 18 to 20 minutes, we looked really, really fucking dangerous. We came out with our hair on fire. We looked really, really dangerous. And then I don't know what happened. The Mickey slip. And I think we need to talk about that because I think he's catching a lot of shtick right now, right? For
slipping.
For the two slips, really.
Yeah.
And you know, you can maybe blame he was playing a little bit too tight to Isak, right? That was the third goal, right?
Yeah.
Where Isak came from, there was no offside position because he was on his side, our attacking side when he started his run. But I want to point out that, like, Mickey is the player that we have relied on for everything defensively this year. I mean, Christian Romero has been doing a lot of the work, you know, silently since his last red card, and you know, having to be out for a long period of time. I think he's just kind of trying to coast along and not get in any trouble. That's been a real, I think, a factor in as to why we are not keeping clean sheets at this point. But Mickey, I'm not gonna say that he slipped. He overcommitted. Okay. He overcommitted because he had to. It's because Destiny Adogi and Pedro Porro weren't doing their jobs. And he's had to rescue this team over and over and over again, defensively. And maybe that's down to tactics, but, you know, where the heck is Christian Romero been? Like, I didn't see him on the Isak goal. I didn't see him anywhere in the screenshot at all. He was kind of lazily tracking back. He was kind of lazily defending. And, you know, sure, the style of football that we play, that's first play, we have to be able to have guys that are fast in defense, who can track back, who can get back into position and knock those balls away. But at the same time, we need to have fullbacks that are able to actually defend one-on-one, and they just didn't do it. And, you know, I'm willing to say that, you know, this is a one-off, you know, this type of a game is a one-off. I'm willing to say that just for this game, but, like, you have to look at the past 3 to 4 games, right? And the form that this team is in, you know, with this season, it's really hard because Spurs fans have, we got a lot of, like I said last week, we had a lot of joy out of the beginning of the season, right? And now we're kind of falling into that kind of iffy area where, you know, we've heard from former fans of Celtic and folks who have seen Postecoglou teams, you know, this is what we were expecting in the beginning of the season, and it's just happening now instead of in the beginning of the season. We had guys that were super fit in the beginning of the season. Everybody was ready to go. And this is a really tough system to play in, and guys are just getting tired. But yeah. at the same time, I mean, do you think that like we should still be holding these guys accountable?
Yeah, I do. And the thing for me, because I do want to extend out, it's not just Destiny and Pedro, it's the midfield as well it's disjointed. There's a real lack of cohesion out there. And, you know, I've been ragging on Bissouma a lot the last couple of weeks. And, he's one of those guys who it's just not working out for him. And it just, what blows my mind is every time he subs out and we get like a Bentancur or a Højbjerg even coming on, things look much more stable in there. The interesting thing for me with this Newcastle match was seeing Sarr drop and Bissouma maintain the space. And I get it, Sarr hasn't exactly lit the squad aflame either, but Bissouma's just one of those guys who I think is getting a little bit too many opportunities when he's one of a few that I think is deserving of a little ride on the bench for a little bit, just to kind of, I don't even want to call it fatigue. It just, he just doesn't seem to have that same level of cohesion with the rest of the squad. That time when he was out, things honestly looked a lot better. So I don't know if it's a personal thing, if it's just, his style of play doesn't quite match what the rest of the team's trying to do. There's something off there. It's not just him either, right? Madison's been a little bit off since coming back from injury. Like I said, Sarr was having a rough go out of it. Where I think I fault Ange a little bit is the inability or unwillingness to pull some of these guys sooner rather than later. The changes that he made in the Newcastle game in midfield were changes that, I called that out at halftime.
Right.
Said, I mean, these are the guys that need to come off. These are the guys that need to come on.
Do you think they should have been pulled changes at halftime? Do you think they
absolutely
should have been? Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Things improved when they came on, but at that point it was too little too late. We'd already lost the game at that point. There is a little bit of fault there, but I don't know, man. It's difficult, because it's not any one player's son is another one that I can point to as trying to do, I think, too much. And he's somebody who works himself into the ground and just doesn't get a break. We're almost over reliant on him because who else do we have, right? We know Timo's finishing is garbage, even if the rest of his game is pretty solid and helps out. He's got a few assists, this back half of the season, his runs have been good. He's getting into good positions. He just can't finish. Yeah, Brennan, he was getting his shooting boots sorted out, but he, when he's not on, what do you got? You got Deki to come on, but then Deki works better coming in through the middle, arguably. There's a lot of. I think if anything, these last few games, and I'm including Fulham, I'm including this game, if there's anything they've shown, it's that we don't necessarily have the depth for what we need to be doing. And I saw, I think it was Alistair Gold today who reported that of the transfer targets we're looking at over the summer, one of them is going to be a striker and the other is a six. And honestly, I think both of those are absolutely necessary, right? I would love to stop harping on Bissouma because we know he can be a really strong, solid player in a midfield position, but we desperately need like an out-and-out six who can be that defensive shield a little bit more consistently. And a striker's just a no-brainer, right? Having Richarlison healthy and fit was great, but it's again a lack of consistency. He hasn't been fit. When he comes back, are we gonna get the one who was picking up his goal scoring form, or are we gonna get the one pre-therapy? Who's
it's
to say?
It's going to take a lot of time, I think, for Richarlison to come back and get into like that goal scoring form. Maybe not a lot of time, but at least a couple of matches. This I think for me would have been a perfect game for Richarlison.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, I think I'm, as much as I loved it earlier in the season when now things were clicking, I think this might be the end of the road for Sonny at a number nine. He can't hold up in the box. His touches are bad. I think he's getting into space that Madison is trying to occupy. I mean, he's just kind of in the way a lot of times.
Yeah.
And he doesn't receive the ball that well. And a lot of it comes down to, you know, I heard Wendy talking about it too. Because I was thinking about it during the match, like, man, he looks fucking tired. He's lost like not just a step, but like two steps. Yep. And, you know, maybe he needs to go back out on that wing. Maybe he needs to sit on the bench for a couple of matches to just to start the matches, just sit on the bench, be brought in at halftime if he needs to, or even beyond. But he needs some time off. And hopefully these 2 weeks, he gets a little rest in those legs, because, you know, we don't have the international duty where he goes and fucking just completely destroys himself. You know, the guy hasn't had a goddamn week off in like 2 years, man. It's insane to me. Like, sure, he's undroppable. I get it. He's arguably the best finisher in the world. He is a club legend. He is going to be a Premier League legend by the time he retires. But, you know, for my money, I'd rather have him healthy and fit. Son, even at 30 years old, is going to be better than a lot of your wingers out there, and he needs to be put back at the wing, you know, because Timo, it can't do it all, and Timo hasn't had like the run up like a lot of these players had. And sure, Timo's allowed to have a bad game. He had a bad game, but he's been a goal contributor. Mickey, mm-hmm. He's allowed to have a bad game. He's been the anchor of the defense the entire season. Destiny's had a few bad games in a row. What's the deal with Poro's injury? Is he okay? Are we going to have to deal with Emerson for the rest of the season? Or we trying to figure that out? As far as Bissouma goes, I think Bissouma, we know that he's good at, he can carry the ball. He's just not that great at, you know, getting into defensive positions where he's gonna hold the ball up at least long enough for the rest of the defenders to get back. And that's why I think that, like, when you see Højbjerg gets put in there, whether it's starting or whether it's in a relief role, you know, he kind of shores up that defense at the end of the game, and we're able to move on for a win or at least hold on to a draw. And, you know, like we said before, Højbjerg's good for one or two bonehead plays a game, but at least he's capable of defending, and capable of at least sometimes picking out a pass. I don't think Bendikur is ready to take that spot. He just needs to kind of ride out the rest of the season, hopefully get fit in the off season. And Sar just needs time to grow up, man. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we could take from this game, but I'm not ready to sit here and say, oh, it's fucking over, you know, or Ange out, because, and we're seeing it a lot right now. Like, oh, he's been found out. No, he hasn't. We've been told over and over again that, you know, this is what happens in his first season. His second season, he retools and he gets better players. And his third season, he retools again and gets more better players. Like, and the project isn't going to be over. It's not over right now. He took players that were dragged through the fucking mud for 2 years and turned them into a team that's top five right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, anybody who's out there having that sort of brain dead reactionary take to let's get rid of Ange, we need a better manager, you know, frankly, that's the dumbest thing you could be thinking right now. If you look at just about every other club that is competing, when they got their manager, with the exception of Manchester City, who is anomalous in all of this, it took them a few seasons to really get into it. Klopp didn't hit the ground running. Arteta didn't hit the ground running. You know, Emery, you know, it took him time to get Aston Villa really firing. You know, these things take time. They don't happen overnight. And Mike, I think you're absolutely spot on. We were disillusioned by how well we started the season that fans are starting to think the sky is falling. But I mean, I've been thinking back to what were my expectations at the beginning of the season. And I thought if we get sixth, I'd be happy. And I think that's, you know, we're probably going to get at least sixth, probably fifth, you know?
I mean, yeah, probably fifth. I mean, we're 10 points clear of sixth right now. And all the teams below us have a lot of tough matches coming up, as do we. So
yeah, so it's like, you know, I'm not terribly concerned. If you want to look at this game in isolation and you know, call for some kind of big change like that, it's just stupid to me. That's such a brain dead take. You know, it's, I get it. You're upset. I was upset. It was a shit match to wake up to and watch. But like, man, if you're finding yourself getting that worked up over one game, just go take a walk, you know, get outside, touch some grass. Spring's here, you know, go enjoy yourself. Forget about the game for a bit. You know, this is something that will take time. I think if there's one thing that, you know, we as podcast hosts have an obligation to get out there to our audience, it's to remind them that this is a process. This will take at least another year, maybe year and a half, before we really see some consistent results, right? Like, again, you know, just thinking about transfers, we need a striker. If they're not going to compete with Richarlison, then what's the point, right? Like, Valise came in. He's not competing with Richarlison right now. Dane Scarlett's not competing with Richarlison. Richarlison needs competition, and that competition cannot be Son. Son, I would love to keep out on the wing. Mike, I think you were absolutely spot on. That's where he needs to be, because that, you know, number nine role just doesn't really suit him, especially at this point in the season when he has just run himself into the ground. And it's honestly, I can't even, for as much as I want him to take some time on the bench, I can't really blame him because he has been asked to do so much. He's the captain of the team. He's the captain of his national team. Like, this is somebody who, his personality is just to put the team on his shoulders and try to run with it. The problem is that gets heavy and you get slow and you get tired and you make mistakes. We have players who could rotate in with Sun. We have players who could rotate in on that right-handed side, you know, in central mid. We just don't really have that striking option. We don't really have that defensive-minded midfield option to really rotate in there, right? Like, especially with somebody like Højbjerg, who, to your point, Mike, again, I feel like I'm doing a lot of agreeing with you today. He does have those one or two boneheaded moves, and frankly, he wants to be playing every single game, and I don't blame him. You know, he'd be a solid starter.
He probably deserves to at this point.
Yeah, totally agreed. But
given his contributions, right? I mean,
yeah, if he goes, you need not just a suitable replacement, you need a big upgrade in that role. You know, I want somebody, if Højbjerg goes out, and I anticipate he probably will this summer, you need somebody who is going to be the out and out starter in that number six position. And anybody, whether it's Bentancur, Bissouma, the fucking Skip, if you want to throw him in the conversation, any of those guys, they need to be competing with whoever comes in. We should not be bringing in somebody who's going to compete with Bissouma. We should be bringing somebody that Bissouma needs to compete with.
Correct. Correct. We need a young Rodri type. I mean, obviously we're not going to get a Rodri or anybody who's ever going to be close, because he's the best in the world at what he does. But we need a Rodri type, a guy who plays well defensively. He carries the ball well. He has great field vision and he commands the midfield. Bissouma just doesn't do that. We've seen it. We saw him do it for stretches in the early season. He just doesn't do that.
And honestly, I think he's kind of a one trick pony almost, where, like, you know, if he's strong and he's dribbling and he's driving forward on his day, exceptional. But if he's forced to pick a pass and to open up some lanes and to do anything, you know, kind of in between the lines, he's less effective.
Right.
And you know, that it's, yeah, it's a criticism, but, you know, it's not the end of the world if we have somebody who can slot in and pick those passes
right.
and open up those lanes. And, you know, I think that's why, especially against some of these low block teams, when we see a swap and we get that Benton Kerr type in there, who is a little bit more willing to make those forward progressive passes through the lines, things look a little bit easier to deal with.
I totally agree with you. On the number nine, there are going to be plenty of number nines available this summer. We already know that Ivan Toney is get me the fuck out of here. And depending on how they finish Aston Villa, Ollie Watkins might be ready to get me the fuck out of here too. He may be looking for something bigger, and there's not going to be many teams that are going to compete with Spurs for money at this point. So, I mean, what do you do? Do you take attitude and baggage in Ivan Toney, or do you take the high price tag of, say, because Toney's worth anywhere from, you know, 40 to 50 million, or do you take the price tag that's going to come with Ollie Watkins, a guy who arguably is one of the better players in the league this year, has been one of the better players in the league this year. I mean, for my money, I think Ivan Toney is probably the go. He's slightly younger, but Ollie Watkins has found that form, and hopefully he's just a wonderful player to watch, as is Isak, and Isak might actually be available too, depending on their financial situation, you know.
Yeah, but Isak's I would have loved to have gotten him before he went to Newcastle, but, you know, we had Kane, and who's going to come and play second fiddle to Kane?
Right. I think Ollie Watkins looks like Tottenham Hotspur.
I'll tell you what, though.
For me, I mean, I love honestly, him, but he's going to be at $80 to $100 million.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think either of them are what we're going to get. I think we're going to get a surprise, and it's going to be one of those situations where we're going to be debating preseason, like, is this the guy or not? You know, I just get the feeling we're going to get some relatively unknown, somebody from, you know, the fringes of Europe who, you know, sort of that diamond in the rough type character that will absolutely come in and compete for that starting spot. But I think it's going to be a head scratcher. Like, wait, who is this guy? What, like, let's go watch some YouTube highlight reels and see if we can figure out like what style of play he is.
We have to also remember that we have Lucas coming in too. Not Lucas Moura, but Lucas Bergvall. So we have him coming in. Is it next season or is it season after?
Might be the season after.
Hmm.
But he's been looking.
I thought he turned 18 next year.
That kid is. He looks like a giant for his age, and he plays like he is an adult.
Yeah, let's just hope he comes in and he. We remember Rasmus Højlund, how he was going to change the game and didn't.
Yep.
So I mean, let's not count our chickens there, but we have players that, you know, will be coming in. I just think that, you know, there, like I said, there aren't going to be many teams that are going to compete with us for money. You know. And if Ollie Watkins wants out and he wants something bigger, he probably has an opportunity to come to Tottenham, and he's got the attitude and I think he's a wonderful player. But before we actually move on, I can get off of this real quick, but because we got to have to address something that has been a glaring issue ever since Jenny Vio left our club.
The set piece defending.
Offense and defense, man. We have guys who can whip the ball in, but the balls are going to nobody because nobody can get into a suitable position. We don't have guys that are tall enough on either defensive or offensive sides to get their head on the ball. Richarlison isn't in there he's probably our best header of the ball. Remember how airborne Lucas Moura used to be as a little guy? We don't have guys that do that. We don't have leapers. And I think that's part of our issue. But, you know, I think I said it over and over and over again, maybe on this podcast, but definitely in our WhatsApp chat. when is something going to be done about it?
I have no idea. But the crazy thing is, like, when you hear the questions brought up in interviews, you hear people praising, you know, some of these coaches like Jednak and Mason for some of the work that they do. But then you have games like this where it's like, what work? What are they doing? I don't quite see it.
This is the thing is, like, some of the issues that we saw with our keeper not being strong enough to do his job out there and hold his position. Some of that stuff may have been kind of corrected, but what happened was we have guys who aren't able to leap. We have guys who aren't able to stand around or who just stand around and ball watch. And we have nobody to protect the near post. We have nobody to protect the middle of the box. And balls are just falling on heads. And maybe, you know, we did see this happening we know our set pieces were bad, but maybe we're just kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's not that bad. Maybe the numbers aren't that bad, but this match, I think, really showed us that, yes, this entire time it has been that bad. I think it has been the entire time. When is something going to be done about it? Something needs to be done about it very, very soon. Otherwise, we can kiss fifth place goodbye. We'll end up in the fucking conference league.
Yeah, we can't have that.
Nope.
So, very well said, Mike, very well said. And I've got to ask, because this is something that I've been thinking a lot about since the game. So I just need to double check, other than Turpentine, which is how I assume most of us, dealt with that game. Hey, Mike, what you drinking?
Oh, Steve, you know, I love it when you, ask that question I think that we might be taking a break with Hey Mike for a little bit after this one. I have a good one for this one podcast. Just like you could maybe call Ange an adopted Scottish heavy.
okay.
Since he did coach Celtic, that I guess that's kind of a stretch. This is a Scottish heavy ale with spices. I don't know what that means, but it's vegan friendly ingredients, which is good.
Interesting.
Yeah, barley, oats, wheat, hops, yeast, coriander, sugar. So it is. Let's see, what do we have here? It doesn't tell us the ABV on this. This beer is. Holy shit. It's brewed at the Bakehouse.
The Bakehouse.
Yeah. I don't know where that... Okay. It's 3.8%. So Scottish heavies are usually somewhere between like a 3 and a 5% beer. A wee heavy is a little bit lighter of a beer. A breakfast beer, if you will. I don't know where this... It's Simple Things Fermentations. I think it's in Glasgow. But anywho,
Glasgow.
Yes. So, it says it's a heavy collaboration with Alchemy, living beer made together. I've had this in my fridge for a while and just have been waiting for the proper time. I want to get this out of my fridge because Scottish heavies, whether they're wee heavies or just a plain old Scottish heavy. They're a darker beer. They're typically malty. And they're kind of a version of like an ESB.
You mean ESPN?
ESPN, yes, correct. they're not usually heavy on the hops. They're red in color usually. I don't know why this one is really fizzy. They're typically not that fizzy, but despite the name, Scottish heavies are typically not heavy beers to drink. They're usually light beers, lighter and profile, but they're typically darker, maltier, smooth beers. So let's get into it. This one is very, very, I've never seen a heavy that's this carbonated. It's like a Sprite.
Yeah, it's kind of weird looking.
Yeah, it smells good though. Well, it might be the glass. It might be the glass too.
Who knows? It's not like there's science behind it or anything. It's all just magic.
Beer is magic. That beer is really light. That's a light. Weird. It's a weird beer. It's not malty. It's not heavy. Well, like I said, it is a lighter beer, but it's not heavy on flavor. It is very, very fizzy. I'm not sure it's my favorite beer in the world. I mean, you could probably bring these to a party and drink 7 or 8 of them and be just fine. Or I could. So it's like they say it's their take on a traditional 70 shilling. It's smooth and easy with a big toasty malty character. It does have toasty malty characters. You can taste the coriander, which that's not off-putting at all. It just doesn't. It's like it's so fizzy. It's like a seltzer, and I don't know if it's because it's older and it's been in my fridge for a while, but
seem confused by it. Almost.
Yeah, I'm very confused. I think you should just tell me, shut up and drink it.
Shut up and drink it.
Thank you.
That's what the fans are eager for, except for the ones who want timestamps to skip past this for whatever reason.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We'll get those timestamps on there. Don't you worry.
I get the timestamp right on my lower back.
Yeah, exactly. That's a tramp stamp, Steve.
Oh, right. Right.
So this beer.
Maybe that's what Dave's doing tonight.
He's getting a tramp stamp tattoo.
Yeah, you know, a little butterfly or something. Nice.
His is just going to say Mickey didn't slip.
Mickey didn't slip.
So are you ready for my go at this one?
I think so.
All right, here we go. 3.3.
Oh, I was way off.
You were way off.
Oh my God. It's good. Not having Dave here to provide some equilibrium.
It's a confusing beer. I think if you were to drink it, you'd look at it and go, man, that looks like it. Remember how good like Red Hook ESB was?
Red Hook's not around anymore, are they?
No, they're gone, man.
I remember visiting their tasting room in New Hampshire, Portsmouth.
Yeah, it was in Portsmouth. Yeah, we used to go there. I used to play softball for Red Hook Brewing. Yeah, they got moved out. Like AB tried to buy them. They got moved out to Portland, Oregon. Was it Portland, Oregon? Maybe where Widmer Brothers is, which is the other sister brewery of Red Hook. And then they just kind of disappeared. They had a really good IPA back in the day called Longhammer. It was a traditional English style IPA. All their beers were traditional English style beers. This beer is just a little weird for me. Anywho, I'm going to go with Bay City Rollers. Saturday Night.
Huh.
Is that the name of the song? That's the name of the song, right?
I'll take your word for it.
S-A-T-U-R-T-A-A.
Oh, yes.
So, so I'm going to go with that song. And that's because, like the beer, I don't hate the song. It's kind of cheesy.
It is kind of like one of those party songs, though. Like, yeah, you'd hear that at a party, and it's like, all right,
It's kind of a fun song, but it's not, you know. I don't know. That's it. Bay City Rollers.
All right. So that's Bay City Rollers is the name of the song.
No, that was
the rating.
The Bay City Rollers is the name of the band.
Bay City Rollers is the name of the band. 3.3 is the rating of the beer. And the beer was called?
Collaborate. Scottish Heavy.
Collaborate.
From Simple Things Fermentations.
All right. This has been Hey Mike, what you drinking? It has been an interesting one.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. It's a, to me, that's like a transition period type beer. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, something needs to, something different needs to happen now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that different thing is going to be this. So we've touched on this topic a little bit already, but I want to ask the question a little bit more pointedly. Because a lot of the times we've been putting the burden of, you know, substitution and player availability onto Ange, and we've seen instances in which players have sort of advocated for themselves as being fit and ready to go, Bentancur being a prime example, which is something that's admirable, right? Like, we love seeing that drive and determination to be there for the team. What do you think about a player who is in a position like Sun, where they are clearly doing too much, they're burnt out, they're running to the ground? What is your opinion on them if they took it into their hands to say, you know what, coach, I know that I'm the captain, but I have not been at my best, and I think somebody else deserves to start ahead of me right now?
So that's something that's very hard. As a former team captain, for me, I found it very, very hard to not want to be in there, to not be helping my club, to be helping my team, every minute of every game. But at the same time, I knew that when I was injured, when I was tired, I needed to come out. And I think you see this with a lot of captains. They shoulder, the captains shoulder a huge, huge burden, on any team and any kind of sport, or any kind of work related team. Right. When you're the leader, you're expected to perform, you're expected to go out there and be the guy who's going to drive the team to victory or to success. And when you've been given that responsibility, I think it's really, really hard to take yourself out of a situation where you feel like you can help, but physically and maybe mentally you can't do it. I think we saw it, you know, and lots of times that leads to selfishness in a player. And I think we're seeing it now. And I know what you're getting at, because the Son situation, I think we saw it, in the 2019, Champions League final, where Lucas Moura was dropped for Harry Kane, who had not played in what was it? A month and a half, 2 months. Because he's Harry Kane. And I guarantee, there was a discussion between him and Pochettino, and Harry was the man to go out there, fit or not. We see it in football. We see it in basketball all the time, you know, American football and basketball all the time. And I think that, as, like I said, as the captain, it's really hard to pull yourself out of a situation and be less selfish. You know, I think there are times too where you have to be more selfish, right? When you're the captain of the team, you have to burden that responsibility. I.e., like Magic Johnson in the 1979 final. This is a guy who led his team by sharing the ball, by passing. He was an elite passer, an elite assist man, and he had to shoulder a lot of that burden because their actual captain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, went on an injury. So he ended up being the captain. And this is a guy who had to be a little bit more selfish. So there are times where you have to get, as a captain, have to get over that mental hurdle to help your team. And that mental hurdle for Sonny right now, if that's what we're going to talk about, or the context of this conversation, he has to think of the for the betterment of the team, him and even Madison, who's a vice captain. I think Romero's been fine all season, but who's also a vice captain, but when you have guys out there who are supposed to be leaders, they need to recognize the situation that they're in, recognize that they're either not fit or they're not good to go for this match. They have to pull themselves out.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Like, it is a difficult thing. You know, the captain does want to be out there, but, and this is something that, I don't know, like, I'm not in that situation, right? I'm not a Premier League level player. I don't know what that sort of pressure is like. But I do know that it can be difficult, almost humbling, to admit that you cannot do something that people expect of you. And then there's implications from then, right? Like, if Son were to say that, does that mean he gets dropped and he has to, like, fight his way back even when he recovers his fitness a bit more? You know, are there going to be different expectations? Is he going to have to deal with media pressure because he got dropped? Because you know that that's one of those things that's going to come up, especially with, you know, England being the way that it is with its media coverage of sports. And then there's, you know, the Korean coverage that is all about Sun. There's a lot of pressure there. But all that being said, are you doing you and the team a disservice to try to push through it when you know it's not helping? And, you know, I don't have the answers. It's just something that I honestly kind of just want to encourage our listeners to think about it, right? Because a lot of people would say, hey, you know what? Son can come up with a moment of brilliance. I'd rather have him on and see if he can contribute that than, you know, not have him on. And I get it. You know, he's a, like you said, he's an incredible scorer. But at the same time, we're all dealing with hypotheticals, right? Like, what if hypothetically you substituted him and his replacement goes on a scoring streak? You know, there's all sorts of things that could happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. So you kind of just need to evaluate, you know, what's good for the team, what's good for the player, what needs to happen. Personally, right now, given what I've seen over the last few games, I think he deserves a break. Not that he's, you know, a poor player that needs to be punished with a ride on the bench. I just think he is a tired player who is trying to do way more than he has the ability to do, given everything that's happened this season. And he needs a fucking spa day. You know, he just needs a nice massage, you know, put up his feet, you know, not have to worry about carrying the team and trying to shoulder most of the burden. Honestly, another way of saying it is, a lot of the other guys really need to start stepping up and taking a lot of that on themselves. I see, you know, there are players who try. Like, I do believe Destiny Adoge does try to make things happen and to shoulder a lot of that. He's just young and inexperienced and ends up making more mistakes when he tries that.
Popstar is the same, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you've got these young guys who want to get out there and they want to try, but then there are guys out there who, you know, they're just at a loss. You know, they're not quite sure what to do or what else to try. I don't know, man, this is a very complicated thing. And just talking through it, I think it just goes to show how difficult the job of the manager is. Because what do? You throw some youth on to get some innovation, some fresh legs, some youthful, you know, energy who might try to do something a little bit different to stand out. Maybe that works. Maybe it doesn't. But, you know, I don't think there's a right answer to this. I don't think, you know, you could bench Sun and still have a poor run of form. You could keep Sun going and still have a poor run of form. You know, at the end of the day, this is a team game and most of the team needs to start stepping up, especially when they are noticing that others are struggling. And, you know, fortunately, I think I can say, despite the poor result, I feel most of the team does go out there with the best intentions to try and help the team do something. It just hasn't been pretty. It hasn't been effective. It's a tricky situation for sure, but it just goes to show that we need a little bit more experience, I think, a little bit more on the bench to rotate in and to help take some of the pressure off. And honestly, even if we don't get Champions League and we end up in Europe, you know, Europa League, just having those extra competitions and having some of these younger guys around and giving them that opportunity to maybe get a few minutes, maybe try to get some of that experience, I think that's going to do a world of good for us. I'm not terribly concerned about the Champions League money, given our financial situation relative to just about everybody else in the league. So if we take Europa, whatever, you know, we'll just get Champions League the next season if we need to. But I man, there's a lot that needs to happen over the next few years. And, you know, if there's anything that I think we've tried to demonstrate here is that there's no easy answer. The only thing that I am 100% confident in is that the Ange out crowd needs to shut the fuck up and just go away for the rest of the season, if that's the attitude they're going to have.
I think you're right. And, you know, ideally what you want out there, like, is you want multiple captains out there, right? Just to kind of bring it back to the topic of the conversation. You want multiple captains out there. You want multiple guys who are going to lead this team. You want multiple guys out there who are able to say, hey, what I'm doing isn't good enough right now. You know, and it is on the manager, yes, to recognize that kind of shit. But it is also on it is also on the players themselves to say, I'm not fit, I'm hurt. And, you know, I think that guys like Richarlison, I think Richarlison notices when he's injured, notices when he's going to hurt the club. I think he's got the club's best, he's got the club's best interests at mind and at heart. But at the same time, you know, we have to recognize as fans that we're not Manchester City, right? Some of the things we do might look like Manchester City. You know, he's just copying Pep. But I think that, like, Manchester City is a club in the way that the club was built and the way that Pep manages. I think that is something to aspire to. We and Spurs can do that. Like, they are kind of the model for what an elite soccer club is. Sure, it was built through probably money with that's, you know, oil money, blood money, whatever, but, like, you can't just put a shitload of high priced players together. We see that Todd Boehly tried that in Chelsea, and it just doesn't work. You know, you have to have the building blocks, you have to have the manager there, you have to have players that are willing to buy into a system. And, you know, to Ange's credit, to Pep's credit, those are managers who will go out there and say, this is the way we're going to play, and if you don't like it, you can get the fuck out. Ask Calvin Phillips how that worked out for him. You know,
I'd like to, but I'm pretty sure he's relegated to the bench again.
Calvin Phillips, yeah, because he's in West Ham.
Wet spam.
You know, ask Eric Dyer the same thing. You know, you don't want to buy into the system? See ya. It's the same type of thing, you know. And I won't mention what he said to Ange, but or about Ange in his interview, but it is what it is. You could take it one way, you could take it the other. But he wasn't needed at Tottenham anymore, and it is what it is. And managers will make the decisions based on what they think is best for the team. And we need 9 captains out there at least.
At least you get one throwaway who can just whatever.
Yeah. Well, no, you get 2 throwaways, not throwaways, but you need 9 captains out there. Like that's how you win, because, you know, Jack Grealish ain't a captain.
That, yeah. He's a character, at least.
He's a character. He's a poster boy. He's a fun loving soccer player. And I think he's an old soul, and he's an old school player, man.
I am also an old soul.
And you're an old school player.
Yeah, but I've got these progressive Ange tactics that I'm going to push on a bunch of 3 and 4 year olds in a couple of weeks here.
Boy, you're going to be ruthless, and I can't wait for it.
And no, it's going to be fun. I hope. I don't know. May in Vermont is just like, you know, it's one of those times where, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, I was on a call for my new role today, and I was telling them all about, oh, yeah, I live up in Vermont, and, you know, it's the weather's kind of eh. You know, we have the ground's just mud everywhere because of all the rain and snow. Like, it's April. You still have snow? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, until May is over, I'm expecting snow. I think June is about the time where I'm like feeling fairly confident that the snow is done for.
Well, you know what, Steve? It's been a good conversation tonight. I've really, really missed Dave, and I you know, I told him, I said, it's always sad. It's always sad, man, when you can't join us.
I've missed like him said, too, with like every shot so far.
I hope that he's enjoying those smokes, and he gets back to us soon.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe when we hit the big times and start bringing in some actual ad revenue or whatever it is that, you know, podcast hosts live off of these days, maybe he'll come back for that.
We have to beat out a lot of other Tottenham podcasts, but hopefully that, you know, our listeners will go out there and tell other people, you know, what's going on over here in Wicked Spursy Land, and that, you know, we're just a few just schmoes who like to have a little fun.
Yeah. Speaking of fun, do you have any fun closing thoughts for us?
Yeah. You know, we don't typically recognize the women's club. Because
it's a society or
no,
that's a whole conversation we can have.
We as Tottenham Hotspur fans, these are a group of women who have gone out there and represented Spurs very, very well this season and even in past seasons. And we have to recognize them because they're on their way, hopefully, to bring Spurs their first trophy since 2008. So they're going to Wembley for the final against Manchester United in the Women's FA Cup, and we have to recognize the women's team in all their contributions that they've brought to the game of women's football, to the game of football in general. And I know lots of times women's sports are just kind of overlooked, but we have to recognize this women's team because they've done something that was kind of unthinkable, and they beat Leicester in extra time. You know, and I want to just give a thumbs up to them.
Well said, Mike. Well said. Speaking of other overperforming Spurs teams, the last update that I got on the U21s was that they had scored their fifth goal. I'm not quite sure how that game ended, but...
Today?
I think so, yeah.
But I haven't had the chance to watch them in a bit, but...
Yeah, they won 5-1, looks like, versus Wolverhampton. So, yeah, that's another fun one. At least some of these Spurs teams can, you know, score goals and progress in their respective competitions. Maybe it'll come to the men's team at some point.
I'll tell you what. Here's the deal. If our women's team win, if our women's team win the FA Cup, I will personally buy a jersey that has a women's player's name on the back of it to wear at the Wicked Spursy barbecue. And whomever the player of the match is, it will be that woman.
In men's cut or women's cut?
I don't think I honestly don't. I don't know if the women's cut would be great for me. I don't have the. Well, I don't think I have the. I don't think I have the hips or.
The only reason,
definitely
only
not the narrow waist. Not the narrow waist.
The only reason I ask is because that determines whether or not they're incentivized to win. You know, because if you're going to wear that women's fitting shirt, if they win, maybe they want to take the loss and save us all. But I don't know. We'll see.
I hope they won't want to take the loss because I'm going to buy a jersey.
You specifically.
I'm hoping we get. It's comfortable. I'm hoping it's comfortable for them. I've been a fan of Bethany for a long, long time. I think she's kind of our Harry Kane, you know, our Harry Kane of the past. Watching the elation from Martha Thomas's face when she hit that header was just like, man, the whole place went crazy, and I was so happy for them. So very exciting.
You know, I'm on their site, right? Oh, they do have a women's players. Well, they have a women's player. There's two of them in their kit room so far. Just two.
And whom are they? It's got to be Bethany.
Bethany England and Shuang Huang.
Of course.
Which I probably butchered, but. So apologies there. But yeah, I mean, to be fair, they only have Son, Romero, Kulusevski, Richarlison.
So if you go over to, there's a tab where you can go to where it says players and you can choose the player.
Yeah. Well, there we go. I guess this was a long-winded way of saying we need more in the merch shop for women that isn't just a drop down off to the side somewhere. Get them front and center, Tottenham.
That's right, Tottenham. Get those women front and center.
Yeah. Well, at least they're front and center of the homepage. My closing thoughts. We got a derby coming up.
We do.
I am not comfortable with it. This is one of those games that I feel like, I don't know, man. Like, I want to say that Spurs will show up because it's Arsenal.
And it's at home.
And it's at home, and there's a lot on the line. But at the same time, you know, they've been performing relatively well. And they just lost to Aston Villa. If they had beaten Aston Villa, I think I would feel more comfortable. I think it was actually Ollie Watkins who recently, like this past week, had noted how similar the seasons have been for Villa and Spurs. And that's kind of what worries me about this, because if Villa beat Arsenal, it almost makes it feel like we're going to lose to them. But had they lost, I felt like we would have won.
Okay.
So I feel I have no fucking clue what's going to happen. I really hope that this team wakes the fuck up and puts them to the sword. But there are a lot of players on that team, that Arsenal team, that can really do some damage. But they also have a Champions League fixture that
and they have I think they have another no they just have the they have a Champions League fixture and they have a match before us. So
a lot can happen.
We have 15 days well 15 days between games, so just a lot can happen between now and then. Bukayo Saka can figure out his limp that he has every time they lose. And Declan Rice can figure out how he got burned so bad on that first goal by that Jamaican speedster, Liam Bailey. So, you know, anything can happen. It's a derby. It's in Spurs land. You know, let's go Spurs, man.
Let's go Spurs. I think that's a good place to wrap things up.
Yeah.
Let's go Spurs. So I know I have a couple of last things that I want to get out there. The first of which being, quiz, boys.
And?
Don't be an asshole. And Mike, I know you have some things that you would like to share with our lovely fans out there.
Yeah, guys, as you go out there in this nice, lovely spring weather that's coming up, you know, whether it's raining, whether it's sunny, outdoor activities are starting to happen. And I just want everybody to, you know, whatever you're doing out there in this nice weather, just be safe.
And?
Oh, yeah. Tottenham Hotspur action. It's fantastic.